Okay, Straub, I have before me the official Amy Rose tarot deck.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, I am serious. It just arrived today. I have freshly opened it and shuffled it. Do you want our cold open to be a little pull, just one card pull for you, or it can be a one card pull for the Sonic movie? But that feels like a lot of pressure.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take a pull for me. Why not?
Okay. This is going to be this is going to set the tone for the rest of your life. That's what the intention of this pull is. Okay.
Damn, you had to pull good then.
No, this is about you and your feelings. Okay, pick pile 1, 2, 3, or 4. I've separated them into some stacks.
3.
Okay, now I'm just gonna shuffle through them and you tell me when, and whoever's on top, that's what you get.
Okay.
Feel it. Really feel it. Yeah. Feel it.
I'm feeling now.
Okay. Oh my god, this is so scary. What if it's a bad one? Oh, wow. Okay, you've pulled the card Babylon.
Oh, shit.
That's so fun. Okay, hold on. I'm turning to the page. Okay, Babylon. The Hierophant.
Mm.
Everybody's coming together. Oh my god, Sonic together. This card represents the group working as one for a common goal. The issue could be related to your family, whether it's the one you're born into or the one you've found. It could be related to the team you're on. Everyone's synced up and ready to go. Oh, there's a hero draw and a dark draw. I haven't read enough to know what that means.
Oh.
Maybe it's if it's upside down, which yours was not. Hero draw is go with what you know. Everyone's on the same wavelength, so roll with your team. Stick to your tried and true methods and save the riskier gambits for later. And here's the dark draw, which I'm going to read to you because we all know you're a villain.
Yeah.
You need to go against the grain. Damn. You've got a new perspective, and while everyone may not like it, they need to hear it. There may be friction, so be careful to take what everyone's feeling into account. You're in for a bumpy ride. Ooh.
Well, I think our listeners are in for a bumpy ride then.
No, don't speak that over the space. This is going to be really a good and positive experience, and nobody can say anything mean about our happy opinions or our bad opinions. It's positive. It's all positive. Yeah. And it's all love.
Yeah, peace and love.
Peace and love.
Welcome to the Bee and the Berry.
I'm the Bee.
And I'm Strawberry.
And today... we have the pleasure of talking about the Sonic Movie 3 trailer.
The Sonic Movie 3 trailer.
The much anticipated.
The final step. It's not the final step. I'm just saying
words. No, it's actually the first step. It's the first step in the huge PR campaign that will culminate. I mean, we both work in the entertainment industry. So essentially, like, PR campaigns happen 2 to 3 months before the project. And I'm really excited for this PR campaign, honestly, because Ben Schwartz, love of my life, Benny Schwa Schwa, he always does great marketing. You can tell he really likes marketing for Sonic Movie 3. And I also, like, wonder what we're going to see Keanu get up to in this sort of PR campaign. Like, will he do Fallon? Will he do the late night circuits? I don't know. Like, I'm excited to see what happens in this PR campaign.
Benny Schwa Schwa, I hope you're listening.
Benny Schwa Schwa. He said that once on Comedy Bang Bang, I think.
Oh my gosh. Like,
Benny Schwa Schwa. I love Comedy Bang Bang. Anyway, and I love Benny Schwa Schwa. So what, Straub? Let me open the floor to you. Welcome to the floor. Let's dance. Let's do a dance for two. What are your thoughts on this trailer? How did you feel upon watching it?
I don't know what kind of sauce they put into this shit. I literally had my shit rock this morning.
Yeah.
So the trailer came out at 6 a.m. our time, and I was like, I'm not waking up for that. And so I was like, okay, what I'll do is I'll wake up, and before I even do anything, before I even check a message on my phone, I went to the YouTube app on my computer and I searched up the trailer. I even blocked out the thumbnail from my view. And I'm like, I am watching this. And it looks so good. It looks amazing.
Yeah. That was my first thought, too. I woke up at 6 a.m. just because that is what I do, and I had to drive into work for an hour and a half, which is also what I have to do. And when I did watch it, I was kind of in the slog of the day, so I didn't process it super deeply. But I also distinctly remember my big takeaways from watching this trailer were, this looks really good. The CGI looks really good. And obviously it's a trailer, it's the polished bits, but it looks really good. And I also just thought, this is a well-cut trailer.
Yes! Yes, a trailer that doesn't spoil the ending. Oh my god. I was really worried for that.
Yeah, it also wasn't too generic of an action movie trailer. You know, the movies with Ryan Reynolds, and it's just like, gung, 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 hold on tight, da-da-da-da. And then, like, you know, Brad Pitt says a little quip, and then they're just the music builds in these big, huge, like percussion. No, I just thought it was a well-cut trailer, and I thought it wasn't generic. It felt fun, and it felt like it had a good pace, and yeah, it didn't spoil the ending. So that was my first takeaway.
What's your second takeaway?
That's a great question, because after that, it's more like fun observations and things I really liked, like it on a very specific level. So if you have takeaways, you go ahead.
Okay, so there's like the one little clip where like Shadow is running on the water and he's like, foom, foom, foom. And I was like, whoever animated that.
Wait, I don't know if you can say that on the pod. Can somebody check the records? Are you, she allowed to say that on the pod?
I don't know. Oh. Am I?
Oh, we're in. Well, do you think you should be able to say that on the pod?
I don't know. Maybe this could be a deep cut.
I'm going to bleep it out and everybody can just guess.
Yes.
Guess what she said on the pod. Yeah, no, that looks, I mean, again, it looks so great. Even that first shot of him breaking through the glass just really gets you so hyped to see this character, and all the fog is spilling out and it's slow-mo and he looks great. He just looks so great.
I'm really curious to see how they reinvent the Shadow backstory, the SA2 element, because, I mean, this is not going to be SA2 the movie. This is going to be just Sonic movie 3.
Yes.
You know, I think they've set up this world in the previous two movies, but it, like, the tone shift is so interesting, but it doesn't feel out of place.
No, it doesn't. It actually feels like we've been building up to this tone shift. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's still jokey jokes, like we'll see if, you know, Shadow does a dance at the end, and I would not love to see that, but I also am very aware of what we're watching. So if that's what it has to be, then that's what it has to be. But the next big win for me is when Shadow opens his mouth and says, this is my best impression, aren't you a colorful bunch?
Okay, Keanu. I didn't realize we got him in the studio today.
Yeah, we've got Keanu in the studio.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody, welcome. I don't know. The way he delivers that line is perfectly hesitant. Like, God, you bitches are stupid. You guys are ridiculous.
Well, I was thinking about it. Like, you know, he's kind of just been in like a test tube and stuff, right? And inside of a lab, like, maybe that is the first time, like, he's seeing actual colors.
Yeah, or even, I don't know, beings like himself, I don't know. And then he breaks Knuckles' fucking wrist?
Broke his knuckles.
Broke his fucking hand. And then he, like, is teleporting around. From that moment on, I was just really hyped, because, like, the action of him blinking in and out of existence and just beating the fuck out of these three guys, it's good.
It, like... Literally, I mean, I saw Tails getting dunked on a mile away. Tails always gets beat up by Shadow. And I kind of like that tradition.
Know where you came from, you know? Know what's worth holding on to.
It just, the action sequences look insane. And I'm ready to be in this. I literally went on, like, AMC, and I signed up for notifications for when the tickets drop.
Oh my god. The thing I will say too is, I mean, even just the blips of action sequences that we've seen make Shadow look supremely cool and powerful. Like, I wonder how they're going to beat this guy without the power of Amy Rose's love on their side. Like, what will they do? I have a lot of theories, which we can get into.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of girls floating around that could fill the role. And also, this is just the first trailer, you know, we have time for any other girl to make an appearance.
I mean, I kind of think it might be JoJo, that little girl.
Totally, and 100%. And honestly, that would make story sense. They've had JoJo here from movie one.
Like, yeah, she gave Sonic the shoes, you know?
Explicitly, Shadow's heartbreak is that he lost a young girl who, like, he considered family. We have a young girl locked and loaded, and they kind of set it up perfectly. So I do see that happening. I also don't want to discount the idea that Maddie's pregnant.
Oh my god.
At some point in this movie, and she is like, Shadow, don't. I'm gonna have a baby. I'm gonna have a fan kid, and we'll name her Maria.
No, if the baby's a boy, the name's gonna be Chris Thorne Wachowski.
Certainly it's Chris. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, they're naming their... Tom and Maddie are naming their fan child, girl or boy, Chris or Maria.
Well, I guess the other thing I was gonna say is, like, I low-key feel like they're gonna kill Tom.
They are not gonna kill Tom.
They're not gonna kill Tom.
I know that he was screaming... He was on the ground like he'd gotten stuck in a glue trap screaming, Sonic! But he's not gonna die. I can promise you that. There's no way. But also, I say that now, and I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I really don't think they would do that.
Or at least they'll make us believe that he's dead for a short period of time.
Yeah. And then maybe Shadow will use the Chaos Emeralds and bring him back to life. I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much. But yeah, he did seem to be in dire straits, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
After that is when Eggman comes back into the picture in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know what I love about these movies?
What?
It seems like Jim Carrey honestly is just really having a good time.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. It's nice to have an actor who doesn't hate their role.
Yeah, especially considering, like, he's such a kooky badooky guy.
Mm-hmm. Him and Stone?
Oh my. They're my favorite. I'm watching Interview with the Vampire right now. This is a reference only people who know Interview with the Vampire will understand, but Stone and Eggman are my Louis and Lestat.
I believe you. I really do.
The way Stone holds Eggman while he shaves his head in two bespoke positions they give us, and one is him with this arm wrapped around Eggman, just like pure chokehold, and then the second one, he's like straddling him, and Eggman's head is tipped back. Like, it's they are luxuriating in each other's presence, and you can't convince me otherwise.
So what I'm hearing is what was stolen but Stone and Eggman.
I mean, the love story they've been weaving for three movies is, it feels epic, I will say that. No, but it really tickles me. It honestly, I love it.
I saw Lee Majub at Sonic Revolution. I didn't get to say, like, hi to him directly, but he waved at me. I know a celebrity. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. Yeah, that really, really tickled me. I love seeing what those guys get up to. They're so tender about each other.
They are.
It's crazy. The intimacy that we're peering into.
As you said, they match each other's freak.
They do. Is somebody gonna match my freak? And you know who else matches freaks?
Who?
Jim Carrey and Jim Carrey.
Yes.
As the Robotnik.
Okay, that was the thing that actually had me, like, shook this morning.
Oh, yeah?
I was watching the trailer quietly because, like, I didn't want to wake up my boyfriend or startle him. But that, I actually, like, gasped. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Pop, pop.
He's so kooky. But honestly, the way the tears are in his eyes when he says that really gets me. It feels so genuine.
Oh my gosh. I really want to know what led to this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they said, Jim, I know we sort of teased that you died at the end of this movie, number two. Mm-hmm. Please, please, please come back. We'll give you more money. We'll give you more screen time. We'll give you a second character. We'll let you do scenes with yourself and be so kooky. Won't that be fun? And Jim was like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're just like, you can do more. You can have even more fun and also more money.
The guy doesn't normally do sequels.
No, I know. Well, and that's the fun thing is like the Sonic movies, for better or for worse, are always taking big, big swings. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, love to see where they hit. Jim Carrey as Eggman, Idris Elba for Knuckles, Keanu for Shadow, Jim Carrey again for a different Robotnik, a homoerotic relationship with his assistant. I love it. I live for it. I can't wait to see what they do next.
Jeff Fowler, I mean, it seems like he knows how to put his team together and has like a really awesome vision. Mm-hmm. And it's just so refreshing. And I say this as like, I'm not really the biggest movie watcher. Like if something catches my eye, I'm like, okay, sure, I'll go see it. But I'm not in the theaters that often. But seeing this, it's like, I didn't just feel excited because I was a Sonic fan. I felt excited because I'm like, this looks sick as fuck.
It does look sick. It looks like it's taking itself a little bit more seriously than the first two movies, because I think Shadow demands a level of like seriousness. It's obviously still going to be a silly, goofy family movie, but
well, the rating hasn't come out yet, though.
There's no way it's PG-13. It's definitely going to be PG.
With all them guns, I don't know.
With all them guns. But not a one in Shadow's hand yet.
Not one in Maria yet.
No. Well, there wouldn't be a gun in her. A full gun.
No, I think she gets blown up, actually.
Jesus Christ.
Well, based off of that one, still shot.
No, I think that they were definitely cradling her in that still shot between the two of them.
No, they were cradling her, but what I'm saying is that, I think that was a result of an explosion in the lab versus her actually being shot by someone.
Interesting. So maybe the real villain is Gerald.
You might be onto something.
Yeah, maybe they'll turn on him.
But that would be really messed up. He killed his grandkid?
Well, maybe again, it was an accident. But yeah. He is still evil also. At least I would assume so. I don't know. We'll have to find out. Here's some outstanding questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Eggman says, I'll help you on one condition. I do want to know explicitly what it is. It seems like, I don't know, you can have one of my quills that you love to sort of snort. The lightning, you snort like cocaine. And then the other thing is Shadow says, I did what I had to do. Oh, Sonic says, what did you do? And I want to know what Shadow did.
Well, in response to that, and then I'll get to the Gerald thing. So that is what made me think that Tom is going to die, or at least be implied to be dead for a period of time in the movie.
Sonic's like, what did you do? In reference to, he thinks James Marsden has died.
Yeah.
Wait. Do you know that? What that makes me think of?
What?
Dark Sonic.
Oh, shit. Are we going to get Dark Sonic in this movie?
Maybe we're all crazy. Maybe we're following threads that don't exist.
Maybe.
But this is what happens when you're excited for something. Anyway, talk about Gerald.
Okay. And the Gerald thing, oh, man. Oh, the quills, right? So Sonic gave Gerald a quill. We know that Gerald has wanted this quill because it's a source of power. Remember in the first movie, Sonic was running around on all bases and took out the power grid.
100%. And every time he puts it near his nose, he snorts it like cocaine.
Yeah, he loves the sensation.
He loves the sensation. Oh, sorry. It's been a long time. I don't know why that tickled me so much. He loves this.
So this is what I think.
Yes.
I actually don't think that is going to be referenced for the rest of Sonic Movie 3. I think that is going to be the setup for the fourth movie where Robotnik makes Metal Sonic. And then Sonic Movie 4 is Metal Sonic and Amy.
You're a genius. I know.
We can cut this out, but I just want to say anyway.
Are we allowed to say that? Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know.
Damn it. Okay, well, I'll bleep it. Like, people can guess. Part 2. If we had a Patreon, we can upload the explicit version.
Oh my god.
It's just the same, but those two things are uncensored. Okay, that's a really great prediction. I respect that prediction. And listen,
mm-hmm.
between the two of us, I feel pretty confident saying I'm the number one Amy fan on this podcast, and you're the number two Amy fan on this podcast.
I am so offended that you would say that.
I just
Beatrice Bethany.
In a two-person race, I'm winning that one, you know?
Damn.
I am here for the Sonic Movie 3 ride, whether that includes Amy or not. Because I love watching Sonic content, period. Mm-hmm. And if Amy's in it, that makes me happy because I love her. And if any of these guys are in it, that makes me happy because I love them. So whether this movie has Amy in it or not, I'm going to be excited. This is only the first trailer. I feel like there's time for them to reveal that Amy could still be in it because we're probably going to get at least two more. Mm-hmm. That'll be variations on this in the PR cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a tweet from a person whose handle I wish I remembered, but if this was you, you're smart and you're beautiful. The tweet was like, it's kind of good if Amy's not in this movie, because if she was, she'd be so easily overpowered by Shadow's presence, which is big and important and an event.
Yes. I've seen that. I was talking in a Discord channel today that is, the channel is dedicated specifically to Sonic 3. And, you know, we were having a lot of conversations about, you know, Amy's presence, Shadow's presence too, just the fact that this movie is only so going to be so long. It's going to be like 2 hours. Point is a limited amount of time. And I mean, we both know that from a literary standpoint, that is only so much time that you have to use characters in an impactful way.
100%. And this has always been an ensemble cast, even from the first movie.
Yeah. And the thing is with Shadow is, like, Shadow is the type of character, I mean, you see it in the trailer, but the kind of character that just takes the spotlight so well.
But also has a backstory that needs some explaining.
Yes. For people, because there are going to be people that go into this movie that don't know anything about Sonic or Shadow. However, I also just want to say, like, I do feel for the people who really hoped for Amy and Rouge to play a more present role in this, because I do think it is a shame that this is feeling like a boys' club movie, because it does.
100%. Well, and that's why I like looking at it from a marketing standpoint, which is the standpoint that you do have to look at it from.
Yes.
Because the American box office cares only about making money.
Yes.
It felt like a given that they would have to introduce a female Sonic character by the third movie, because if they don't, you know, there's no female character toy for little girls to buy. That's a whole market you're missing out on, of families that maybe only have girls who haven't gone and seen Sonic. So I thought, surely she'll be in this one. But you know what this trailer has revealed to me is that the marketing power of Shadow is enough.
Yes.
Can hold the third and probably will hold the third movie and its box office earnings on his shoulders. And actually, it's really important that if you want to see Amy and or Rouge in the next one, you support this movie. Because if it does well in the box office, that's how you get more.
Yes.
More content, another movie, more, you know, merch, things like that. Because it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
I hate it here sometimes. It's a numbers game.
It is a numbers game.
You have to use your number and place it wisely.
And I think, too, because, you know, when I say this because I had a really thoughtful conversation with a friend, just kind of be like, you know, my friend was excited, but also kind of disappointed that, you know, Amy and Rouge mm-hmm. wasn't in the trailer. And I kind of realized how I had a pretty jaded, like, feeling when it came to, I guess, like, Hollywood marketing for these big IPs. Mm-hmm. Because I feel... I just don't know whether I could trust them enough.
You can't, period.
You know? Because, like, I feel like I look at what they did with Peach in the Mario movie, and personally, I was not a fan of that choice because it felt emblematic of the diehard girl boss marketing that we have seen for female characters, especially in children's media. And I was worried that Amy could fall really, really hard into that same cookie cutter element if taken into the hands by Hollywood executives. Mm-hmm. But my friend brought up a point where it's like, yeah, like, you know, it's one thing to have this distrust, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't, you know, not have female characters.
100%.
Because, you know? I think I was feeling a little bit like, okay, I'm going to have really tempered expectations because I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want to feel really sad. But, like, no, they should still have, like, Amy is an important character. She's a great character. And I think it's just a shame that it feels like we are still in kind of really heavily gendered marketing in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's the main takeaway. Peach is who Peach is. They did what they did to her. The sad thing is that, yeah, we have to make choices about where to spend. We live in capitalism. Here we are. That's a different podcast, though. Yeah. So I do think, bottom line, we're all going to be okay if Amy and our Rouge are not here. And there is absolutely no way in hell that one or both are not in movie four. No way in hell. If they're already here. Which, yeah, could be.
I really think that for Shadow, this movie is going to be a one and done for him. I don't really see him being revisited.
Whoa, fascinating. That's another big prediction.
Yeah. Just again, in the vein of, like, Shadow as a character just takes the spotlight so naturally mm-hmm. that I would almost see him as a distraction if included in the next movie, whatever that's going to be about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, Paramount has said they have big old grand plans, so I don't know, maybe yes. we're headed towards a Shadow spin-off series.
That'd be so good.
Well, we would hope.
Well, we'd hope, actually. Yeah, I don't know. We
would hope it would be good. Either way, much like this, I think we'd be along for the ride. Anything else you want to say, Straub? I actually almost doxed you. I will be real right now and I will own up to it. I actually almost did it and I did it. And look how much better I'm getting at it.
Thank you so much for not doxing me the internet.
You're welcome. Hey, you are welcome.
Anytime.
Oh my god. Anything else? I have to go pick up my husband from the airport.
Oh god. Well, other than Sonic Nation Rise.
Sonic Nation Rise. Ready. And also Sonic Nation, it's all peace and love.
Yes, peace and love.
Peace and love. And of course, as we say at the end of every episode of The Bee and the Berry,
it may not be canon,
but that is one colorful bunch. And they're correct.
Correct.
Ciao.